Well, this morning, this is our last sermon in the series, Forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're moving forward. We started out with upward, and then where did we go from upward? We went inward, and then where did we go last week? Outward, and where are we going today? Oh, you've been waiting for this sermon. I know you have. We are moving forward in the things of God. 2020, a year of clarity. If you would, this morning, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. Now, there's another scripture. If you talk about the church in general, the Great Commission, over in the book of Matthew, the Bible declares, Jesus said it this way, go into all the world, Matthew chapter 28. So, two-thirds of God's name is go. He didn't say sit, he said go. What does that mean? God does not want anyone sedentary. Body in motion stays in motion. A spiritual body in motion stays in motion. You need to get momentum in every area of your life to move you forward for what God has for you. God is not sitting still. As a matter of fact, let me just put it to you this way. God said in the book of Genesis, let there be light. God said in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. So when God said, let there be light, God created light, and light travels. Turn to your neighbor, say, light travels. How many know how fast light travels? How much? 186,000 miles. 186,000 miles per second. Is that right? Yeah. The speed of light. Guess what it's still doing? It's traveling still today. 186,000 miles per second. It never stopped. The universe never stopped expanding. Light never stopped expanding. God never intended his creation to ever stop, get sedentary. If you stop and just refuse to move forward, usually things that stop die. So we're not dying. We're moving forward because God has some things in store for you. So let's travel together. You ready to travel this morning? Are you in the book of 2 Kings? This is an amazing story. I love the story of 2 Kings. It's chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 1, but let me just set the stage for you this morning. This was a time of the prophets, and this particular prophet was the prophet Elijah, and Elijah was called of God in this particular time and dispensation to declare the word of the Lord to the kings and the kingdoms that were on the face of the earth at that time. The kingdom of Israel had backslidden against God, and because of their backslidings, God, the hedge of God removed, and the Syrians marched in on the children of Israel. The heavens turned to brass. God stopped the rain, so there was a famine in the land. And the Syrians took a hold of a place called Samaria and seized all of the food, all of the goods. They were just going throughout the land, and they were pilfering and pillaging every village and every burg and every town, and they were collecting all the goods so they could feed their people. As a result of this, the children of Israel, they were starving. They were dying. They were just continually pining away. But it was so bad, this story is very interesting as the setup, that there was a woman who had made a pact with another woman, and they had two children, and they made a pact together that we would first boil your child and eat your child, and then we would boil the other lady's child, then we would eat that child. Well, the one lady, they boiled their child, they ate the child, but the other lady took her child and hid them. I mean, can you imagine how bad it would be that people would actually begin to cannibalize their own children? This is, and just say, oh, I just would never do that. You don't know what you would do. I mean, we always put ourselves in these biblical scenarios or scenarios of other people's lives and determine what we would do in that moment. Let me just tell you something. You really don't know what you're capable of or what you would do when things get really, really bad. You got to be solid in your faith. You got to be standing strong in the plan and the will of God. Now, I'm not saying anyone would eat their own child. Don't get me wrong here. But this must have been a bad time. These people were starving and they were dying. So much that the king sent one of his men to the prophet Elijah, who they thought was bringing a lot of this upon them, because Elijah was the mouthpiece of God saying, the judgments will come because you refuse to serve the living God. The hand of God lifts, the enemy comes in. You know, it's that way for us even today. Make sure that you stay surrounded within the hedge of God's plan for your life. Longevity is only guaranteed when you're sitting in the seat of your destiny. I want to make sure I'm doing everything God wants me to do, where he wants me to do it. And when that takes place, I can move forward and know no weapons formed against me shall be able to prosper. No matter what situation or place I find myself in, it's going to be all right. So wherever God has called you, the seat that he's called you to sit in, your destiny moving forward, as long as you're there, nothing can overwhelm you and take you out. The Apostle Paul said it this way. There was a time in his life where he was under a great sickness and a malady. He really wanted to just go on and die and be with the Lord. But he said, for your sakes, I'm going to stay here. Why? Because my course was not over yet. God's not through with you. Tell your neighbor, say, God's not through with you. Yeah. So it's bad. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's bad in Samaria. Yeah, it's they're in bad shape, man. They got nothing going on. And the city had been under siege and the people are dying. And all of a sudden, the king sends a man to the prophet Elijah to take his head. He wanted to take the prophet out in retaliation to what has happened to God's people. And the prophet kind of like, well, you ain't taking me out because I got a word for you. Just when you think it's over, God, in a moment of time, can change and shift everything overnight. With man, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Look what the prophet says in verse 1 of chapter 7. And then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley be for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. What's he saying? Inflation is over. You're going to be able to purchase goods. They're bringing the trucks to Kroger's, and you can buy at an uninflated rate. All right? So something's about ready to change. From boiling and eating children because of the desperation and the pain of hunger, they're getting ready to be able to buy in the gate of Samaria flour and grain and barley for a shekel. Just go and check out at your local self-checkout and get you a loaf of bread. Look what happens in verse 2. Then the Lord, who the hand of the king leaned. Now, this was the Lord that was coming to declare that Elijah's head was getting ready to be taken off. How'd you like that catch? And the Lord, whose hand the king leaned, answered and said, man of God. And he said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? He's questioning what he just said. This is impossible. Haven't you seen what's going on in this city? They're eating the heads of donkeys. I mean, it's bad. And you're telling me tomorrow I'm going to be able to buy a loaf of bread for a buck? You're out of your mind. This couldn't happen even if the windows of heaven were open. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. So the prophet said, okay. You don't believe what God has to say? He's going to let you watch it happen, but you're not going to be a participant in it. Be careful what you say or what you think about what God has to say about your future. God knows best. God knows what he's doing. So this man questioned the word of God because the things that they were looking at looked impossible. The word that was declared was in all appearance impossible. Have you ever been that way? I mean, you just felt like you were in an impossible situation. How in the world can God get me from here to where he wants me to be? Because where I want to go is possessed by the enemy. They wanted to go into Samaria. They wanted to get their food back. They wanted to get their possessions back, but it was under the possession of the enemy. Somebody needs to take back what the devil stole from you. Sometimes in order to move forward, you got to be willing to say, I don't care. I'm not going to let him steal from me no more. The Bible says, let him that is stolen steal no more. Now look what happens here in verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering into the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here and die? Very interesting. So these guys are at the gate of Samaria. They don't know what the prophet said. They didn't hear the prophet made this declaration to the Lord of the king to go back and let the king know what God's getting ready to do. These leprous men, they're sick. They're sitting at the gate. There's four of them. They're pining away. They're dying. They're sedentary. Nothing happened. Something about leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that eats away at the skin. I got to thinking about that. You know, sometimes we don't move forward in our lives. If we're not moving forward, something's eating at us. You know, something's holding us back. Something's eating at us. Something from our past. Something from some fear that's been imparted holding us from going forward. Something was eating at these men. They were leprous. They were sitting in the gate. And he goes on to say, why would you sit here and die? And if you want to move forward, you got to be willing to listen. You will never possess what you're unwilling to pursue. You will never possess what you're not willing to pursue. I said this Wednesday night, the intolerance of your present situation creates a future. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And sometimes, like these men sitting at the gate, they could have sat around and waited for something to happen, but they got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they took matters into their own hands. They made an evaluation of their present situation. Sometimes you just got to evaluate where you are. What's really going on here? Why are we going to sit here and just die? Why am I going to sit here and just allow the world to happen to me? Why don't I just go out and take the world by the horns of the altar? I just take the bull by the horns of the altar. I'm taking what belongs to me. I've got a future. I'm not going to sit around here and wait for something to happen. I'm going to get busy. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to whine and complain about my situation. That'll hold you in place. Most of the time people get stuck in place because they want to sit and whine about where they're at instead of looking at where they can be. They're focusing on where they are. You need to stop focusing on where you are and start focusing on where you can be. You know, we talk about that in 2020. We took an assessment, Jennifer and I, of where we're at, things that are taking place in our life, in all areas of our life. And we just made a determination that if we want things to be just like they are 12 months from now, when we turn into 2021, we can guarantee that things will be just the way they are. Do you know how? By not changing a thing in our life. And there's only one way you can change what is taking place in your life that is willing to do something different than what you're doing. I want to move forward. Moving forward is really uncomfortable to a lot of people. When we talk about moving forward in the spirit, we set out in January, the beginning of the month, to have reading programs, to make prayer, discipleship programs, fasting, to move our spirit forward, to draw closer to God, get out of the shadows of our Christian experience and move deeper into the light of God's grace and understanding and revelation. Well, that's not always comfortable. Some people get intimidated just to pick this book up. And it's just full of God's love and life. Some people are intimidated because they don't know how to pray. Some people are intimidated because they don't even know what the word fasting means. And God has said, wait a minute, there's a simplicity about this that everyone can fall in place in some area of God's plan and will that will move them forward. You're not too far away from hearing God's voice to take baby steps in the progress of your own destiny. You can do this. So be intolerant of your present situation. Enough is enough. I'm tired of being sedentary. This is what these four lepers were coming to the realization. They said, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, we shall die there. So what are they saying? We don't know what's ahead. But it couldn't be any worse than where we're at. We don't know what's in store for us, but it couldn't be any worse than where we're at. This is just intolerable. We just can't take it. So what's the worst case scenario for God to move you forward in your life? What's the worst case scenario? This is what these four lepers men were determining. What's the worst case here? You know, I've always said that in my life when it comes to stepping out in faith and moving forward in God's plan for my life, whether it's in business or ministry or family, whatever area it is, I always brought my wife to this conclusion. What's the worst thing that can happen? And then we deduct what could be the worst thing that could happen. And we thought, well, that's not so bad. It's not any worse than the situation that we're really in right now. And if all things do fall apart, hey, we're just holding on to a little morsel, a little piece, a little bit of meal. Hey, I'd be willing to lose this and risk it all to gain that. Come on, this is the talk of faith. There's more that God has for you. Sometimes you've got to let go of what's in your hand towards God so God can let go of what's in his hand towards you. God has more. Turn to your neighbor, say more. Yeah, God has more for you. You will never reach the palace thinking like a peasant. You're never going to get there just sitting there thinking about it. These men said, why shall we sit here and die? If we go into the city, there's no food. We can die there. If we sit here, we will also die. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, but we shall die. Well, what these men didn't know that God had already made a plan. The word had already been declared. And these men, God was getting ready to use to unfold and open the eyes of the people to what God had already planned to do. These four leprous men, they got up from where they were at. They decided to move forward. And when they went into the city, there were no Syrians around. The enemy was gone. Sometimes you fear things that aren't even there. You fear the shadows. It's not real. It's not even there. You've determined in your own mind what's on the other side of the gate, not knowing that God goes before you and prepares a place and a path for you. God went before these four leprous men because he had a plan to move them forward, to move the people forward, to move the city forward for the things of God. And so they said, well, this is the worst thing. We're going to die here. We're going to die in there. But I'm not going to die sitting here letting something eat at me. I'm hungry enough to go get something to eat. Sometimes you got to determine, I'm not going to let it eat me. I'm going to go get something to eat. What's eating at you today? What's holding you? What's causing you to be sedentary? What's holding you back from possessing God's best for your life? What are you afraid of? These men decided that I'd rather die in there than in faith than die out here in fear. Sometimes you got to get to that place in your life. I'd rather move forward in faith and die than stay out here in fear and die. Come on, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's got a great plan for your life. Why sit we here and die? We're going forward, hallelujah, to the plan of God. You can't poison your future with the pain of your past. A lot of times people get stuck right there and they refuse. God said, no, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to clear the way for you. You don't have to sit here and die. They got up. They went into the city. And guess what they found? The enemy had already been evacuated. God expelled them from the land. You say, well, how did God do that? God sent a noise into the camp of the enemy, the noise as a marching army coming in to Samaria. They got fearful that God was sending an army to wipe them out, and God wasn't sending anything. It was all in their head. You know, God can cause your enemy to flee with a thought. God can remove the enemy out of your life with a thought. God can expel him just with a thought. The enemy retreated. These four leprous men walked in and they had a buffet. It was a smorgasbord. They had everything. The enemy, when they left, they not only left, they left all the spoils. They left the gold and the silver and the food and the silverware. They left it all right there. And these four leprous men, because they decided to not sit there and die, they got up in faith and they moved forward and they claimed what rightfully belonged to them. They spread the word throughout the camp, throughout the city, throughout the people of God. And when they spread the word, what happened? All of the children of God came in and they bought them a loaf of bread for a buck. People were starting to eat again, repossessing the things that rightfully belonged to them. You cannot repossess the things that belong to you by staying where you're at. They're right there in front of you. They're within your reach. But if you stay right where you're at, you stay sedentary and you settle with what you have, then you can never possess what God's plan and his best is for you. Good is okay, but best is better. Too many people settle for good and good goes to rotten, but the best never rottens. It's always in front of you, shining and gleaning and ready to take hold of with a passion and a faith and a desire to obtain everything. Turn to your neighbor, say everything, everything God has for you. I want it all. Turn to your neighbor, say I want it all. Man, Jesus paid way too high of a price for us to sit we here and die. God has more for you. Isaiah said it this way, behold, I will do a new thing. Can you believe God would be willing to do something new in your life? I will do a new thing. He said, but what you got to do, you got to be willing to forget the former things. Yeah, I will do a brand new thing. I will show you something brand new for your life. So they possessed, and the children of Israel, they ate, they were happy. God did some wonderful things. But you know what happened to the man that doubted it? The Bible says that he was sitting at the gate and he was watching this whole scenario unfold. And when the people heard about the food, they come a running. I mean, you know, you're hungry. These people's hungry. They come a running. Plenty for everyone. They come a running. They trample the dude in the gate. He saw it happen, but he died right there. He didn't possess any of it. He didn't get anything from the word of God. I want to receive from the word of God everything that he promised me. Don't you want to receive everything that God has for you? I don't want to sit up here in doubt and say, challenge God, even if the windows of heaven open, this thing couldn't be, because I've already decided what's possible and what's not possible. Listen, we don't have the luxury. God doesn't afford us the opportunity and the opinion to determine what he can and cannot do. Is anything too hard for God in your life? Is there anything that God can't change in your life? Sometimes you got to go through something to receive something. And sometimes when you go through it, it might not be a mountaintop that you're going through. It might be a valley experience that you're going through. It might be a wilderness, a desert, or a dry place. But bless God, you're still moving forward. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, God brought them to deliverance out of bondage. But he was getting ready to take them into blessing. He was getting ready to take them into their possession. They had to come through the wilderness. They had to come through some things that they weren't used to. But bless God, it was better than what they came out of. God would never bring you out of something to bring you into something and not give you the ability to endure something to get there. He won't put anything on you that's heavier than what you're able to bear. And if it's heavier than what you're able to bear, that's when he steps in and says, in your weakness, my strength will be perfected. I'll go into the fire with you, bless God. I'll be in the lion's den with you. On the other side of this, there's going to be a victory shout. There's going to be a victory dance. There's going to be a victory parade. Are you willing to go through the fire? Are you willing to go through the desert? Are you willing to go through the lion's den? Because on the other side, I'll not only be there on the other side, I'll be there inside of the lion's den. Come on, give God some praise this morning. I want everything he has for me. You know, life does sometimes, it really works to oppress you, press you down. The enemy wants to press you down. He wants to oppress you. Bible declares in the book of Acts chapter 10, it says, consider Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed by God with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil's one job in life is to oppress you in every area of your life. He'll do it through sickness. He'll do it through disease. He'll do it through relationships. He'll do it through mental anguish. However he has to do it, he'll do it with circumstances that are unbecoming to your passion and your desire. He'll put roadblocks in your way. He'll put smoke screens in front of you. He'll tell you it's too late. It can never happen. God's not going to do it. The Lord lies. He doesn't tell the truth. He's trying to keep something from you. He'll get you to blame it on somebody else. It's because of this. It's because of that. It's because of my past. It's because of them, they, and him. But listen, God doesn't worry and care about all that. He just wants to take you and strengthen you and enable you to endure what you're going through. And on the other side of that is going to be nothing but total blessing and the possession that he's called you to possess. The children of Israel, here they come through this desert. They're walking through. It's hot, but they're on their way and they're going somewhere. At least they're moving. One of the saddest stories in the scripture is a story where the children of Israel, God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. He wants to take them into the land of Canaan and possession, to possess the blessing that he declared over them, a land that flowed with milk and honey. It's got everything that you want. It's got everything that you need. It's just on the other side of Jordan. We got to go and truck through the little desert here, right here in the wilderness place in Sinai, on our way to the promised land. It's not that far. Just hold on. I'm going to get you there. Matter of fact, on the way, I know you're going to be hungry, so I'm going to send some quail. I know you're going to be wanting some bread, so I'm going to send you some manna. I know you're going to be thirsty, so I'm going to bring you some water out of a rock. I know this is unfamiliar to you, but isn't it at least a little bit better than baking bricks for the Pharaoh as he's strapping your back with whips and chains? Come on, I'm bringing you out. Come on, I can bring you through. And see, this is where a lot of people get held up. They don't understand. Well, sometimes, well, God, but you brought me out of this, and now it's this. No, this is just a place of endurance because you're at least moving forward and you're on your way to possessing something great. And a lot of times it's like, well, shoot, I don't know if I don't know if I want to endure in faith. I'd rather sit in sedentary. At least I know I'm going to get fed. At least I'm familiar with it. That's conditioning. That's social engineering. That's the enemy taking your mind and warping it. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm coming out of the conformity of what the world thinks I am, what the world says I am, what they say I can be, what they say I can possess. I'm not going to conform to that. And so when God brings me out of that conforming mode and he brings me out of that bondage of conformity and he brings me into a land of endurance, I'm not going to look back and say, I'd rather conform than endure. You don't want to conform. You'd rather endure. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. All they had to do was endure just a little track across the desert. God was going to make the provision. They weren't used to what they used to have. It wasn't the same thing they used to have, but their mentality was stuck in a place. They couldn't hardly think about moving forward because they had been conditioned so long for oppression and bondage. It's like a bird that's been trained inside of a cage. He's been in there so long, when the door is open, he don't even know how to fly out and spread his wings. Sometimes we're conditioned in a cage in our head and our mentality that we can't seem, even when God looses the chains, we still walk and we feel it's the shadow bands we still feel around our ankles and feel around our wrist. It's those phantom pains that even though it's gone, we still feel like it's there. And we got to shake that off and say, no, wait a minute. I'm not conforming to that. I don't care what it feels like. I'm coming out of conformity into endurance because I'm built to endure. I was created to endure. God made me in his image and in his likeness. He breathed his same spirit on the inside of me that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm built to endure. I'm coming out of bondage, and I'll endure this desert if I have to. I'll endure this short stint and walk of faith if I have to. But bless God, I'm not going to stay sedentary like these leprous men. I'm not going to stay here and die in a foreign place. I'm moving through to the other side because I heard God say something. I'm going to bring you all that you need. There's a land just on the other side. If you can endure just for a moment. Bible says endure hardness like a good soldier. I'm going to endure this short trek in the desert. And as I endure, what happened? They endured it. Complained and grumbled all the way, but they were moving. They got to the place of the promised land. They got to the Jordan River, and they sent over a bunch of spies to the other side. They sent 12 spies to spy out and see if God said what he said was true. I got to check it out for myself. Is it true that I can leave oppression and bondage and endure a dry place in my life to cross over and possess God's best for my life? Is it true? Send the spies and see what God says and bring back the fruit that he said was over there. They did exactly that. Those 12 spies went over there. They got the fruit. They got the grapes. They were coming back with the bounty of the land. They brought it back into the desert. They brought it back into the place of endurance. And when they got back to endurance, they said, look at the grapes and look at the bounty that's in the land. Surely the word of the Lord is true. But 10 of those spies said, but wait a minute. There's a problem. There's a problem, Houston. We have a problem here. We have a problem. We have a problem now. They go from conformity, from being stuck in conformity, brought out under the hand of deliverance. Now they're in the land of endurance, waiting to get to the land of promise. And then they get and spy out the land of promise, and they decide they'd rather stay in endurance. So these 12 spies, two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, yeah, look at the grapes. Look at the food. Surely it's what God said it was. This land of promise is a land. There's houses over there that you're going to possess you didn't have to build. There's walled cities over there that God has for you to occupy and live in that you didn't have to build. There's well with fresh water over there for you to drink that you didn't have to dig. There's fertile soil over there. There's well-watered land that gets its rain from heaven. Look what the ground produces. Wait a minute. We can't grow that over here in endurance. There's no grape growing like that out of this land. This is nothing but sand. We gotta live over here and just endure the manna from heaven and keep eating quail and drinking water out of a rock, because the land of endurance doesn't have within itself to produce what God says that we can possess. But it's the land of promise that has the ability to produce what God said that we can possess, not just for our present, but for our future also. And so they went back to the land of endurance and they said, we got a problem, Houston. There's giants over there. It's everything that God said, but he forgot to say one thing. There's big people over there that want to keep their stuff. And those big people over there that wanted to keep their stuff. These 10 spies out of the 12 created an imagination in their mind of what they were in light of these giants. You know what these people said? I mean, how long you got to think about this? From the time they went and possessed the grapes, brought them back out of the land of promise, back into the land of endurance, from that little trek, that little walk, all of a sudden they must have been meditating really bad. These giants are big. They must have saw some giant pick up a grasshopper and eat it or something. Because when they got back to the land of endurance, they said to the elders of the camp, "Surely we're but grasshoppers in their sight." Boy, you really got to be meditating on a lot of negativity to feel like a grasshopper. Young grasshopper. Mm-hmm. We're but grasshoppers in their sight. There's just no way that we can do it. I'd rather endure here in the desert and walk around in circles, not moving forward, not possessing anything, but just sitting here. I'd rather die here in endurance then walk over here and possess in faith. The Bible says that you must fight the fight of faith. And the scripture declares in Timothy, it's a good fight. If you will fight the fight of faith. What is fighting the fight of faith? Fighting the fight of faith is very simply this. Coming out of the land of endurance, walking and spying out the land of promise, and no matter what you see over there, what God says shouts louder in your mind and heart than what you see. Joshua and Caleb wasn't looking at the giants. All they could do was continue to rehearse over in their mind what God said. This is the land of promise, and it's a possession that I promised Abraham and his seed. That is you. And they just kept hearing, this is the land I'm bringing you to. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. Look at the promise. Look at what I said. They weren't consumed with the giants. Sometimes we get lost in our focus. We're looking at the obstacle instead of looking at the object. The object of God's word was the fruit. That's the object. This is the object. The objective is this. Possess that. This is the objective. So I got to look at the object, not the opposition, not the distraction. Look at what God said. The object of his promise. Joshua and Caleb are looking at the object of the promise, not the opposition of their faith. If you keep your eyes on the object, your faith will stay intact and you'll continue to move forward. But if you focus on the opposition, before you know it, you'll be thinking like a grasshopper. I can't do it. I'll never make it. I'll never be able to possess what God has for me. You will never leave where you are until you decide where you'd rather be. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be forward today? How many of you want to move into your possession today? Don't you want everything that God has for you? Don't you want the plan that God has for your life? So what do you do? How do you do that? How do you get from the land? Maybe you're still over here in the land of oppression, conformity. Or maybe you're right here and you've just been enduring something for a long time. You're seeing things, you've heard the promise, you've seen it, you've heard it, but you've just been walking through that dry and weary land. The relationship is dry. The bank account's dry. The health is dry. I mean, everything is dry. Lord, are you sure? You said you wouldn't put anything on me too heavy that I wouldn't be able to endure. You've been in that endurance so long. Or maybe you've already crossed over. You grabbed a hold of the object of the possession of God's promise for your life, and you're moving forward, and you're sharing the faith. Maybe you're standing over here hollering back to those fools in the land of endurance. Hey, why sit ye there and die? Come on over here. There's something more over here. Let me just shine a light. Let me lead the way. The only time I'm going to look back is to grab someone and pull them forward. I refuse to look back and let someone from my past pull me backwards. The only time I'm looking back is if you want to come with me, come on with me. But if you're going to try to pull me back there, that's a relationship that I'm going to cut off, because I ain't going back. I've had enough of that. I endured that. I've already lived that life. I've already walked that desert. I've already seen that mountain 6 times. I've endured that season long enough. So once you're over here, like, come on up out of there, everybody. There's more over here that God wants you to have. That's what this witness thing's about. That's what this thing of faith is all about. Come on out of that land of bondage. Come on out of that land of conformity. There's more than that meets the eye. You can have more than what you believe a thing. And God is bigger than all of your problems. God is bigger than all of your worries. God has a greater plan for your life. The same spirit that he raised Christ from the dead, it's that spirit that lives on the inside of you. You can come through the land of endurance, and you can cross over and possess God's best for your life. Don't you want that today? So how do you get from there? How do you get from there? You got to change the way you think. These guys came out of bondage, but it didn't change the way they think. You can get out of the land of conformity into the land of endurance and not change the way that you think, and you will be miserable. You'll be stuck. You'll be trapped. Trapped in two worlds, trapped in your mind in the land of conformity, and trapped in your body in the land of endurance. Your mind's trapped, your body's trapped, and you're not going anywhere. So what happened to those that didn't change their mind? They got trapped and they died in endurance. Just died. They got plumb wore out. God let them walk around in their conformed mind. Let them walk around in the desert for 40 years. Dying. Getting buried in endurance. I'm not going to let endurance bury me. I'm going to endure and come out. This thing didn't come to stay. It come to pass. If you're going through hell, the song said, keep on going. Don't stop there. Don't stop in endurance. Don't stop in the land of conformity. Don't keep moving. Keep moving forward in your mind. You can't. Your life will always move in the area of your strongest thought. What are you thinking about? They were thinking about, 10 of those spies were thinking about the giants. It stopped them in their tracks. 2 of those spies were thinking about the promise, and they endured the 40 years in the desert, and they possessed their promise. The rest of them that didn't keep their eyes on the promise, they did not endure the 40 years in the desert. They died there. I'm not dying in the desert of endurance. I'm going to endure the desert to be buried in my promise. I'm going to die in my promise, and I'm going to be buried in my promise. That's the soil God called me. That's where I'm going to be resurrected from. I'm not coming up out of the sands. I'm coming up out of the fertile soil of God's promise. So what do? You got to renew that mind. You got to change the way that you think. We know that these men of conformity, these 12 spies, never changed the way that they thought. They never allowed the word of God to break them out of that mindset of conformity, because as soon as they saw the giants, all of a sudden the mind trap of conformity said, "You're grasshoppers." That's what the Egyptians called them. You're grasshoppers, you're slaves, you're less than men, you're good for nothing but baking bricks and building our cities. You're worthless in our sight. You'll never be any more than that. Somebody's mama said, "You're never going to amount to anything. You're always going to be like a daddy." Some school teacher said, "You're the worst in the class. You'll never be more than a clown. You got voted in high school, most likely never to succeed." I mean, you just got stuck right there in your mind. And then God said, "I got more for you. You got to come through and you got to endure. You can have that, but are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to fight for everything that God has for you? Are you willing to get up from the gate and stop allowing your past to eat away at you and say, 'Bless God, if I'm going to die, I'd rather die going forward than die sitting right here.'" This is the plan of God. You're born to live forever. But while we're breathing breath in time, God wants you moving forward in some area of your life. He does not want you just sitting up there, living life of endurance, miserable day in and day out, waiting on Friday's paycheck to get here. That's not God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. So I'm going to break the chains, not only of the bondage of my soul, I'm going to break the bondage of my thinking. I'm coming out. I'm going to get free in my body, and I'm going to get free in my mind. So no sense in getting here. See, this is what happens. A lot of people get saved. We talk about getting saved, coming to the Lord. They get saved, and you'll see them. They'll come out of bondage. They'll get delivered from drugs and alcohol, abusive relationships. They'll get delivered from all types and forms of perversion and pornography. They'll just get delivered. They'll come out of this land, and God will bring them out of the land of bondage, and then he'll move them into the land of endurance. And in the land of endurance, instead of renewing their mind, instead of just not conforming to what used to be, they stay there. They're in the land of endurance. And while they're in the land of endurance the whole time, they don't spend a minute. They're not even taught in church anymore to renew your mind. They're not even taught anymore. You got to change the way that you think if you're going to endure this season to get all the way to your promise. And so what happens? They get to that place and they get in the land of bondage. Keeps calling them back from the land of endurance. And they ran well for a while. They came to church for a few weeks. They were so excited for a minute. And the next thing you know, wow, this was harder than I thought being the Christian. This was harder than I thought living a life of promise and hope and faith and learning to live pure and obey his word. Oh, this is tough. You mean I've got to endure that transition to possess all that he has for me? I got to endure all that. And then you just see them. You see all the demons of oppression from the past. You can't do it. You're never going to make it, really. You never really got free. God's not real anyway. Come on back. Come. The devil will take you back anytime you want to go. Come on back to me. Come see me over here. You mean I got to endure some stuff? We preach such a faulty gospel. We tell them if you pray a prayer, you're going to heaven and everything's going to be all right. And they come to church and their lives don't change. They're no more of a reflection of God's plan and purpose for their life than the man on the moon. They just, nothing's changed, but they prayed a prayer, but they're still back here in their mind. And they may endure for a moment. And then the next thing you know, where are they at? They're back in bondage. Man. And they get trapped. Because they tasted this. They said, well, this land of endurance, I've not learned to renew my mind. But I can handle the land of oppression because at least over here, I can numb my pain. I got a few friends left over there that, you know, will stay down here with me. I, you know what? It's really easier over here in the land of bondage than it is in the land of endurance. Didn't the children of Israel say, why don't we just go back? Because at least we had 3 square meals a day. Why don't we just go back? Instead of coming into endurance, renewing their mind, living a life of faith and hope and trust, trusting God that you can't see, believing in a word that you've never read, hoping against hope that you can have what you've never had. Oh, maybe I'll just go back. Hey, bud, how y'all doing? Pass the joint. Line them up. Belly up. That's why the Bible says that for every 4 people that receive the word of salvation, only one makes it. Only one endures the transformation, the renewing of the mind, the wilderness, deserts, and dry places, the lonely places, because your friends aren't coming with you. It's lonely in here. The lonely place. Your family might shout at you from bondage. You're stupid, you Jesus freak. Come back. Who do you think you are anyway? Y'all just too good for me now, right? You've heard it all. Come on back. 1 out of 4 can endure the loneliness, the mockery, the rejection, the ridicule. What do you mean you don't want to drink no more? What do you mean you don't want to get high? What do you don't want to go to the club anymore? What do you mean you don't want to sleep together anymore? What do you mean? What's the matter with you? That stuff's not real. God's not real. You come from an ape, you silly creature. Come back here. Fornicate with me, dummy. Let's get high. This is life. This is living. Mama won't go. Boyfriend won't go. Daddy won't go. Friends won't go. I'm all alone in the land of endurance. But God says you're not alone. I'm with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. I will enable you. I won't put more on you than you can bear. Hold on, child. Your promise is on the way. I know it's hard over there. I know they're laughing at you over there. I know they're rejecting you over there. But remember what I did for you. And ain't one of them going to die on the cross for you. None of them going to shed your blood for you. None of them going to go to hell and resurrect for you. Hold on, child. You're going to make it all the way to promise. I'm coming out of this desert land. I'm going to endure. I am moving forward, though none go with me. It hurts. It hurts. Though none understand what I believe now, it hurts. I just want them to know what I know. I just want to share with them what I share. And it's like they don't understand. They can't hear me. They got blinders on. They don't get it. What do I do? Where will I turn? I'm all alone now. I've left the world behind. That's all I've ever known. It's lonely here. But wait a minute. You find yourself out there in the land of endurance. You find you a good church. And you realize, I'm not the only one here enduring. I'm not the only one here fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not the only one here that's left family, friend, and lands and money. I'm not the only one here that's let go of my past and my shame and my pain. I'm not the only one here. Like God told the prophet Elijah, there's more of us than you know. I'm reminded, and I'm closing. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, Abraham's brother, Haran, a son by the name of Lot. And Haran died. Lot went with Abraham. And they come out of the land of Ur. And God was taking them into Canaan. As Abraham was discovering who God was in his covenant. God blessed Lot and Abraham in the plains so much that their herdsmen, they had so many sheep and they had so many herds and camels and that there was a dispute between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdmen. And Abraham said, listen, Lot, let's not fight over land here. You choose the land you want, and I'll go where you don't go. But I'll let you choose. Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Be careful where you pitch your tent. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and as he pitched his tent towards Sodom, it wasn't long before Lot got sucked into the life of Sodom and Gomorrah. And while they were in there, the Bible says, because he pitched his tent too close to the Sodomites, he vexed his righteous soul. And while he was there, Abraham got a word from God that God was going to kill the Sodomites. He was going to destroy their abomination. Abraham pleaded for Lot and said, Lot, I want to get Lot. Lord, don't kill him. If I can find 100 righteous, will you save the city? Sure, I'll save it. What about 50? Sure, God said, I'll save the city if you find 50 righteous. Oh, well, wait a minute. That was too easy. What about 10, God? Sure, I'll save it if you find 10 righteous. There wasn't 10 righteous people left in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was only Lot, his daughters, his wife, who had had their souls vexed because of the spirit of the Sodomites. But God allowed Abraham to go and allowed Lot to be rescued. The Bible says that God sent a couple of angels into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot and his wife and his children, his family. And the angels came into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and to the point to where the Sodomites saw fresh meat. Now that spirit's aggressive. I'm tell you that right now. They saw fresh people and wanted to sodomize the angels. Can you imagine? And Lot said, no, his soul was so vexed. Take my daughters instead, but leave these people alone. God was so disdained with all of it as he was rescuing Lot and his wife and his children that he smote the Sodomites with blindness, and the angels in Lot's family walked out of the land of Sodom. Hellfire and brimstone getting ready to rain down on the land of abomination. God was getting ready to wipe it all out. And God made one request. When you come out, no matter what you hear, don't look back. Don't look back. Three of the saddest words in the Bible. Remember Lot's wife. here come Lot, his family, his wives, his daughters, out of the land of abomination. And as they're walking away, Lot and his daughters kept moving forward, kept pressing, forgetting those things which are behind. They let it go. Their lands, their farm, their cattle, they let it go. And the Bible said, Lot's wife, she stopped. She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. She got stopped in her tracks because she looked back. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't look back. I know your heart's broken. I know it's beaten and battered. But bring it with you. Don't leave your heart in Sodom. Don't leave your heart in the past. Don't leave your heart into the hands of an abuser. Bring it with you. And God will heal you. You will endure. And you'll make it to your promised land. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, say, I'm moving forward.